Good morning, church. It's good to see so many of you here. And as I look at the bulletin, this coming Tuesday will be the first of the eighth marriage course. Just now I took a peep and I saw eight couples that have signed up. I hope more of you can sign because Allison and myself, we signed up for the course. Next year will be our 30th anniversary. And during these 30 years, if you ask me any fights or not, any quarrels, of course, lots of those, you know. And there's no marriage that does not need improvement, you know. So I hope more of you can sign up. It's also a very good bridge to your non-Christian friends. If you have any Christian, non-Christian friends who are having problems in their marriage, you know, it would be good for you to, you know, introduce them to how to have a better marriage. I remember during our courting days, you know, Allison will always say, honey, come and see whether this thing is nice or not, you know. And, you know, I say, oh, yeah, nice, you know. You want to buy it, you know. They say, hey, this one also nice, lah. You know, look at the two. Then buy the other one also, lah. Hey, you're so good, I can buy the two, lah. You know, those are courting days. Now she also does the same thing, lah. She says, honey, come and see whether this thing nice or not. I say anything below $50 is nice lah. Above 50, no need to see. Sure not nice. Hopefully these eight sessions will change me back, you know, to the courting days. That is a hope. So I want to encourage you, you know, to say I think still time to, you know, sign up after the service. You know, for this eight course, you know, eight Tuesdays. So pray for that, you know, especially Brian just told me the last time they had was there are more non-Christian couples than Christian couples. So it would be a good bridge to introduce your friends, you know, who have problems in their marriage. You know, I'm sure it will be a good thing for them. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, indeed, we want to thank you this morning. You have brought all your people here to listen to your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. We pray, Lord, just now, even as we sing the songs, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, Lord. That is truly also the desire of our hearts, to want to possess you and you alone, Lord. Even this morning, as we look at this parable, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to teach us, continue to remind us where our treasure is, Lord. So we want to commit the rest of the time to you. For we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our passage this morning is taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. If you have not brought your Bibles, it's on the screen for you. I'm going to read it through, you know, and hope you will follow it. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. Then I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself and not rich towards God.'" The rich fool. The title itself is a contradiction. Normally, if you are rich, you cannot be a fool. If you are a fool, normally you cannot be rich. One of the authors give it another name. He says this is the, you know, the failure of success. Again, it's a contradiction. You know, how can you be a failure when you are successful? When you are successful, you cannot be a failure. There's a big contradiction. The problem is, who is looking at your success? Who is looking at your failure? If God is looking at, you know, your success, it may be a failure. If the world is looking at your success, it may be successful. Someone has defined success for a man. Is that a man, you know, who makes more money than the wife can use? Ah, this is a successful man. Are there any men like that? Don't put up your hand, okay? No need. Make enough money, whatever your wife buys, never can finish, you know, your money. That is a successful man. Successful woman is find a husband like that. That will be a That's why Sammy, you know, in the film with Andy Lau, who doesn't want to marry a rich man, isn't it? From young, I told my two daughters, you know, the only criteria daddy wants you is to marry someone, you know, who's a Christian. That's the most important. Rich or poor, never mind. Of course, rich better lah. I mean, which parent would want your daughter to suffer, you know, and have difficulty, you know? But that is secondary. Important thing is a Christian. You know, as parents, we want our children to be healthy, you know, and to be happy. Whether rich or poor, actually is immaterial. As long as they're healthy, as long as they're happy in whatever marriage, that's good enough for us, you know. Here we have a story, you know, of someone in the crowd asking Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, in this version, NIV, it does not tell what brother, but in the Chinese version, in the Greek version, it's actually tell my elder brother. It's an elder brother, you know, to divide the inheritance with me, the family inheritance. Somebody have said, you know, when there's inheritance, 99 of the people, you know, will become wolves. Everybody wants to get a bigger share, you know. I know of a family, you know, who has four brothers fighting over the family inheritance. Now, before that, you know, the father passed away and, you know, they went jingbing, they will go and four families with all the grandchildren will go up, you know, to the cemetery, you know, and worship, you know, the father. And then when the mother died, you know, there was a big fight over the inheritance. So much so, now jingbing, four families will go separately. You know, they don't talk to each other. The only thing good is the parents can eat the chicken four times, you know, four different families, roast pork four times, chicken four times, you know, but they don't talk to each other. Just because of some, and it's not a big inheritance, just, you know, just a house, they fought over that. Here, verse 15 actually is the key to this parable. He says, watch out, Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, our Lord could have settled this problem with the Mosaic law. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, it says that actually the brother gets a double share. I think Chinese, we olden Chinese also like that, you know. Normally, the elder son will get a share, and then the elder son's son will get another share. So you get two shares. Now I don't know. I mean, during my olden days, it's like that. You know, or Jesus could have, you know, with a stroke of godly genius, settled a problem. Like he was asked, you know, should we pay taxes, you know, to Caesar? Now that's a very tricky question. Should he or should we not? But Jesus says, you know, render to God the things that belong to God. I mean, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God, you know, the things that belong to God. He could have settled that, but he went right to the problem, greed, covetousness, the desire to possess and possess and possess. Never have enough, never satisfy, you know, with what we have. And actually, this is the last of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? You shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, manservant, maidservant, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Christians need to be content, you know. Everyone's house, you know, many houses are bigger than us. Cars are, you know, bigger than us. But then, you see, we don't compare. Being content is to be happy with what God has blessed us with. Greed, it is to look at things that other people possess and want that, you know. So the Greek word for greed means the thirst of having more. Always wanting more and more and still more, never having enough of what you already have. I remember when I was very young, my mother always tell me, he says that if you're content, even when you're poor, you'll be happy. Even if you're poor, if you're content. But if you're not content, even if you're rich, you're not content. Many people are richer than you. You know, so you always look for those things, you know. And so our Lord here warns us, he says, a man's life, the truth worth of a man is not counting what he has. It does not depend on the abundance of his possessions. You know, how much we have, how much we possess. But all of us will say, but that's not true, isn't it, God? You know, the world does measure us, you know, by what we have, what we possess. And that's the reason man keeps buying, accumulating, acquiring, you know, the best branded bags, you know, watches, diamonds, Jimmy Choo shoes, you know. Say what you have. The world does measure us by what we have. How much you earn? 4-figure, 5-figure, 6-figure? What car you drive? I have a friend, you know, when he goes for business, he will rent a car with a chauffeur to drive him. I say, why do you do that? Hey, we have to prove that we are successful. We have a chauffeur. You know, we have to be like, hey, there's a business world. Where you live? Bangsa, you know, hilltop or hillside or down there. I live in Charas, you know, Charas, poor people only live in Charas. All the traffic jam there, isn't it? Huh? And what you eat? Hilton, you know, Shangri-La for dinner, huh? Renaissance for high tea. Where you have your food? I have my food in Taman Selera, Old Town PJ, you know. It's so good. You know? But other people say, what credit card do you hold? Gold, diamond, platinum? You know? How many maids do you have? 2-3 on an army of that? How many dogs are guarding your mansion? And also, what type of dog? You know? Rottweiler or Paria dog? I have a dog that I brought from, you know, brought from Malacca. People ask, what dog? Expensive? No, I picked that up from the road. Why are you going to take the dog up to KL? He's a good dog, you know. So, you know, what watches do you wear? Rolex, you know, Dunhill, Gucci bag. When you talk bag, you can't, you don't have to associate Rosemar with it. The world does, you know, look at what we wear, where we stay, before they look at us. There's a Chinese proverb says, Xin keng lo yi hao keng yan, which means look at what you wear first before they respect you as a person. I remember when my younger brother came back from the States studying, and he couldn't get through custom because of some tapes. You know, he studied at School of Berkeley, and then there were some tapes he couldn't get through. Then he said, hey, Daddy, I mean, not Daddy, and my brother, come, you know, help me, maybe as a pastor, they will respect you, you know, to get the tapes out. My heart said, Pastor, didn't you know? Nobody respect pastor, you know. But then I went with a coat, with my tie, and I went there, you know, to the custom. And there were 4 counters lining up. I was standing to the 5th, you know, like good citizen, standing there. Suddenly, officer came up, you know, from inside and said, excuse me, sir, can I help you? I was standing 5th. Why did he say help me? Because I was wearing coat and a tie, you know. So this is the same problem, you know. Thinking lawyer, how can you? It was what you wear. So next time you want to go to a government office, you want to be treated like that, wear a coat and a tie. I'm sure they will, you know, attend to you first, you know. So here it is, you know, our Lord turned the whole success story upside down or upside right. It's not what we wear is important. You see, the true value of a man, it is not what you have. Things by itself cannot make a man, you know, cannot to the depths of a man. In fact, people who are living for things are very shallow. You know, philosophers call them a one-dimension man. You know, they live for what they can see, what they can measure. You know? They don't care about any other people. They just want to rise up, you know, to the ladder of success. They don't care who they step down. And so Jesus told them this story, this parable. What is wrong with this rich man? You know, first, you know, he does not see God in his success, in his blessing. Let us look at verse 16 to verse 19. He says, the ground of a certain rich man produced good crop. You know, he thought to himself, you know, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. You know, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my all my grains, all my goods. And then I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. This man has suddenly become rich. The first time in his life, you know, he has abundance of things. He could eat what he wanted. He could live where he wants, you know. He could buy all the things that money can buy. He could keep up with the Joneses. Now, please don't get me wrong. You know, it's nothing wrong to be rich. Nothing wrong to be rich, you know. God blesses us. There are many rich Christians who has done wonderful things for the Lord. You know, I'm sure you have so many buildings here because, you know, some of you whom the Lord has blessed has given for the building fund. And that's great. Nothing wrong to be rich, you know. But here he is condemned not because of his riches. You know, he was condemned because he didn't see God in his blessing. He didn't see God in his success. He attributed all his success to himself. He and he alone made all that. He took credit for all the things. Attributed his success and his good fortune to himself. In these three short verses, he used 12 pronouns. Yeah. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he says, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I will store up all my grains and my goods, and I will say to myself, 12 personal programs, I, myself, and me. God has nothing to do with his riches. My friends, it is all his hard work, all his business acumen, you know, all his good fortune, his brains, his timely investment, his luck, everything is his. God was not there. He is God himself. God was non-existent. God was nowhere in his life. And that's the reason. You know, see, when God blesses us, it can become two things. One, it becomes a window by which we see it is God's blessing upon us, and we give thanks to God. Or it can become a mirror like this rich man. He saw himself 11 times, 12 times. It's me. All my doing, all myself. That's why I can do what I want with all these riches that God has blessed me with. You see, my friend, when God bless you, you know, this selfish man, he did not realize it was God who has blessed him. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 21. You know, this is one of my favorite verses. When Jacob was running away, you know, his brother was wanting to kill him because he cheated him of his birthright, you know, cheated the father. And when he, you know, in there he says, God, you know, I'm running away. You know, if you give me food to eat, you know, clothes to wear, one day when I come back, I will give 1/10 of what you bless me to you. He made that promise. He made that vow. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 21. And then four chapters later, chapter 32, verse 10, he says, God, I am not worthy of all the loving kindness and all the faithfulness which you have shown to thy servant. When I crossed this river Jordan, I only had a staff. That was when he made that promise. Only have this staff. Nothing. Maybe bags on clothes. You know. Now I have two large groups of people. Oxen, donkeys, camels, sheep, goats, servants. He saw God in his blessing. It was not because of him. It was God who has blessed him. If you look at the Old Testament, it is always when God's hand was with him. When God prospered him, it was always God, my friend. So when God has blessed you, you know, see God in your success, in your blessing. King David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, he says, God, who am I, Lord? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? Nobody's shepherd boy. Looking at the sheep. Now suddenly became the king of Israel. Why, God? Why have you blessed me? Who am I? He knew that it was God who had chosen him. It was God's hand in his life, you know, that he is the king of Israel. Moses is another one. Moses, you know, and his people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt for 400 over years. They had gone through the hardest of time. If you have seen the Ten Commandments, you will see, you know, the slave driver, you know, beat on their backs, the hot sun, the hunger, the work, the burden, the hardship. They could bear that. But Moses was afraid, you know, that he wasn't too sure whether they could handle God's blessing. And that's why in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, you know, he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, when you build your house and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have multiply, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then you will say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. It is he who has given you the ability for wealth. Moses was sure, so afraid. See, my friends, you know, the attitude of this farmer was exactly what Moses was scared for his people. When God blesses, when God's blessing and success come upon our life, we forget God. We forget God. I remember in the old days when we were, you know, Form 3, there was a group of us. Every Wednesday, we go to the prayer meeting. I was living in PJ. We cycle. Some in Ulu Klang also cycle. Rain or shine, Wednesday, we always go there. And then came the Rampetta, you know, the Vespa, still, you know, we go there. And then God bless the people. They grow up, you know, because they've been faithful. And now they have cars, you know. A few of them, you know, do not go anymore. You see, sometimes it's difficult to be God to bless or not. You know, you don't bless them, you say, God, you don't bless me. When God bless you, you forget about God. Play golf on Sunday, you know, other things, you know. It's difficult to be God. You see, this is what happened to this man. He has forgotten. How do we handle God's blessings in our life? You know, how do we look at things? You know, do we immediately see it is God who has blessed us and we feel greatly humbled that the Lord has blessed us, that he has chosen to pour his blessing upon us? Or it becomes a mirror, we see ourselves and we are proud that we have made it, you know. Sad to say, many Christians rely more on God when we are poor, when we are jobless, you know, than when we are rich. And this parable tells us that, you know, we need to remember God in our hunger, you know, as well as in our fullness. We need to remember God in our poverty as well as in our riches. We need to remember God in our plain, you know, bread and our 8-course dinner. Material blessings should actually enrich us spiritually rather than take away, you know, our spiritual life from God. Tonight when you go back home, you know, when you're sipping your champagne, you know, whatever your taste is, you know, when you count God's blessing, you know, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your siblings, your friends, your career, you know, thank God for that. There's a hymn says, count your blessings. You know, so many times we don't count God's blessing. We take God's blessings for granted. And this is exactly what this man is, you know. The farmer thought he could do it all his own. So first thing, his problem was he didn't realize that it was God who has blessed him. God was completely out of his picture. Second problem was he didn't prepare for life hereafter. Verse 19, you know, and he said to myself, I have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. He thinks he has many more years to live. He thinks he's God. You know, take life easy. I have many more years laid up. Yeah, maybe he could use 2-3 lifetimes. He's so rich. I like the beginning of verse 10. You know, he says, verse 19, I say to myself, I have plenty good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Verse 20, but God said to him, the powerful word, but. Yeah, you can plan your life to a T. But is God there? Is God there? But God said to him, tonight, you fool, this very night, your life is demanded from you. Who will get what you have prepared? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What do we give in exchange for our life? Nothing. You know, lots of money to use, many more years to come. Take life easy, eat, drink. He's come to a point, you know, of life. He never thought of God, never thought of eternity, never thought of judgment to come, never thought of heaven, never thought of hell. He only thought of this life, his possessions, his holiday. My friends, sometimes we plan our life to a T and God doesn't exist. God has no picture in our life. Yeah. Young people, you know, as you are starting out to work, you know, sometimes what do you think? You know, when I finish studying in this, you know, lousy uni, I'll get a job, I'll work a while and start my own business, you know, find the prettiest girl, and get married, have children, buy a house, you know, make tons of money, then retire at 50. I thought like that too, you know, when I was 14 years old, I buy all those books, How to Be a Millionaire. The author became a millionaire. I never became a millionaire. You know? Oh, I mean, I guess nothing wrong to want to be rich and retire early. Nothing wrong with that. Don't think that Christian must be poor. Some warped theology thing, Christian must be poor, then very holy. Rich people cannot be holy. No. It's not true. You know, God's blessing is, you know, material blessing, long life, good health, good family. You know. And so here, you know, we see this man. You know, he plans everything. But Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. What is God's? You know? The night as this rich man, you know, structures in his leather Ogawa massaging chair, you know, sipping his VSOP or champagne, you know, looking at all the years that he can enjoy all these riches, going to Caribbean Island, Hawaii, all those places he can go and enjoy life, you know. And yet, God says, tonight, I'm taking you. All that you have planned for. Just this week, one of my daughter's friend, 50 over years old, just died, fell from the stairs, passed away. Another friend of us, you know, also 50 plus, good man, climbed up the stairs, look at the aircon, fell down, hit his head, passed away. A dato. Thankfully, both of them are Christians. You know. So we have no say to our life when we are going. I always say, we may not even see tonight's sunset or tomorrow's sunrise. None of us know. You know, there was this lady in Grace Baptist Church, James Wong grew up in, coming to church in the morning, happily, you know. 2 o'clock, I received a call, she crossed the road and died in the petrol kiosk there. No sickness, nothing. You know. How do we know when, you know, when we are going to leave this world? You know, he's not the captain of his soul, he's not the master of his faith. We are mere humans. See, when will man ever realize that our place, our, you know, life here is only temporary. This world is not my home. Remember that old hymn? I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up in heaven. You know, here, our days on earth, Psalmist tells us, is 90. You know, Psalms 90. Our days here on earth is 70, and by reason of strength is 80. For soon we are gone and we pass away. Malaysian statistics says man live to 75. I'm already 75 this year. I just last week I told my wife I can go anytime, you know. But thankfully another statistic says short people live longer lah. I hope. That I hope is right. 70, 80, 100, we have to go one day. Are we prepared? You see? We foolishly exchange something temporary for something that is eternal. We don't have God in our lives. And the third thing is, he was not rich towards God. Look at the verse 21. You know, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. He stores up things for himself, but he can take nothing with him. Do we ever realize that whatever we have, I share with you, the brother, have a stack of FD debt high. But if you die, could you take it with you? You know? You can have all the riches in the world, but you can't take it with him. Whatever we have, it is God entrusted to us. Dr. George T. spoke on that, the parable of the talents. Remember, it was entrusted to the servants. It does not belong to them, entrusted. Whatever you have today, your house, you know, even your family, all the blessings that God has been entrusted to us, we are only stewards of all these things that God has. And one day we have to stand before God to give an account of ourselves, what we have done with all these blessings that God has blessed us. And the more we have given, the more we need to give back. You know, being faithful, it is, you know, being successful, it is to be faithful with what God has blessed us with. There was this Texas oil man, you know, in Texas, in Dallas. Dallas Baptist Church is one of the biggest churches in the U.S. And then Dr. Criswell, who has passed away, he shared this. He said, one time this very rich Texas oil man took him, you know, gave him a sumptuous dinner and took him up to his balcony to look at all the things. He says, you know, Pastor, when I came to the U.S., I had nothing. And now, you know, in front you can see those oil wells, it's all mine. You know, at the left, the cotton fields, also is all mine. Right, you have horses and cattle and it all belongs to me, Pastor. And the back, the maize and the wheat and all, it all belongs to me. Dr. Criswell asked him, how much do you have up there? You have all these things, but up there, how much do you have? Not rich towards God. My friend, invest in things that are eternal. To use your time and your talents, you know, and your spiritual gifts and your possessions and wealth for what it cannot rust, what it cannot be stolen, what it cannot be destroyed. Just now, our sister read that, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where's your treasure this morning, my friends? Is it on things accumulating, or on things that are eternal, that you can send it before? No, we cannot take things with us to heaven, but we can send it now. Whatever you do for God, I'm not just talking about money, you know, your time, you know, with the children, the time, you know, of your care for people who are less blessed than you. You know, God has blessed us bountifully. Let us share those blessings. You know, let us invest with things that are eternal rather than to accumulate things that we cannot take with us. You know, so the problem with this farmer is, first, he did not see God in his blessing. Do you see God this morning in your life? Do you give thanks to God that has blessed you, that you don't have to worry about your food? You know, do we? He didn't prepare for life eternal. The Bible says, you know, there will be death and after that judgment. All the three servants that Brother George shared, all of them have to give an account. One was given five. The more you give, the more is required. The more God has blessed you, the more you need to bless many other people. The one that was given two also came with two. But do you realize that they were, God said, you know, the master said the same thing to them, thou good and faithful servant. If the third servant who had, you know, given one talent have done the same thing and brought one to the Lord, the master will say the same thing, thou good and faithful servant. Success in ministry, success in Christianity is being faithful with what God has blessed us with. Give of your best to the master, another hymn. And that's the best we can do. None can do more than our best. God doesn't want us to do more than our best. God cannot even require us to do more than our best. What is your best? Have you done your best in here, Pantai Baptist Church? God has given you blessings, spiritual gifts, time, whatever it is. You know, don't just come on Sunday and worship God and then go back. Invest in things that are here or even outside. Bless more people. Be a blessing, you know, to the people who are less fortunate than you. And then God will bless us, you know. So be rich towards God. My eldest son is pastoring a house church in Beijing. One time he came back and asked me, he says, Daddy, you know, when we get to heaven, will we have any regrets? You think when you get to heaven, will you have any regrets? I thought for a while, I said, yes. I think our regret will be when we haven't, we say, I wish I have given more. Now the family is fighting over all this inheritance I've left. I wish I've given more to the church. I wish I've done more. I wish I've cared more. I wish I have loved more. I wish I have called more people, you know, who are not here this morning to care for them. I wish that. Dr. Bigger Graham, I share with you. You know, when he was still alive, you know, he was such a successful man. You know, voted, you know, one of the greatest men who has ever lived. He says, if you have your life to live again, what will you do differently? He says, I will pray more, I will read my Bible more, and I will spend more time with my family. My friends, you know, let's hope that we will not have those regrets when we get to heaven. Like Paul, I think he has no regrets. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept my faith. I wish all of us could say that. You know, I finished the race that God has given me. I've done my best, Lord. You know, for you, whatever you have given me, I have blessed people with. I've done the best. So when we get to heaven, like Paul, we will have no regrets. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you this morning, reminding us of this rich fool who only thought of himself. And sometimes we are like that too. Lord, we pray that you will, through this parable, teach us not to covet the things that can rust, that can go bad, but rather to invest in things that are eternal, that are in heaven, Lord. Continue to bless our lives spiritually, materially, Lord, so that we can bless more people. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.